I'm Ryan Gosling.
And I'm a man of the woods.
And this is Ear Buddies. Matt, before we dive all the way in, I'm just sort of thinking to myself, if you were a Mouseketeer... How do you think you would fare? How would you stack up to the rest of them?
Like in hindsight, or at the time?
I mean, you know, let's say you're at the ripe age of 10.
Okay, and this is, you're talking about actual 10-year-old me, or like,
yeah,
like how I would have behaved in that situation?
Yes, actual 10-year-old Maddie,
mm-hmm.
up there on stage.
Jennifer, Justin, Carrie,
JC,
Brittany.
Mouse Club, got your ears. Everybody's having fun dancing, sure. Singing. How are you doing up there?
I am doing terribly. They pull me off the stage with a cane. I have what it takes musically, but if people are doing choreographed dance moves, or even or even just freestyling, like letting the music move them.
Oh yeah,
Maddie has never done that.
Oh, guys.
You know Maddie, Tim. I stand still at a concert. Like, gang, I do not...
Gang, if only you could have been at the Kendrick Lamar concert at Austin City Limits 2016. Me bouncing around going bananas next to my best bud, Matt. Absolute king of stoicism. Not moving an inch. And then after the concert... We all said, Matt, are you okay? Did you hate it? And he said, no, I loved it. Maddie does not dance, gang.
That's right.
But that's Tim, a lesson I learned.
Tim, look, I've seen you on stage,
sure.
in a number of different different hats. Yeah. I feel like you would have been giving Ryan, Justin, Brittany, Christina a solid run for their money.
Look, I don't want to toot my own horn, but I think I would have crushed those little kids.
I totally agree.
But that's neither here nor there, Matt. Didn't happen. We're not Mouseketeers. We weren't. We won't be. That's for sure. But Justin Timberlake. Where do they get the love to be? That I am not the least bit into you. Is perhaps America's greatest Mouseketeer success story.
Hard to disagree with that, Tim.
Well, maybe. I don't know. I mean, it's kind of crazy how many of those kids are doing okay
right now. They all are.
It's really crazy,
yeah,
actually. The mouse is never wrong.
Picked a lot of winners.
That mouse could pick them. And Mickey, back in the day, back in the 90s, picked out little Justin T. out of the crowd. Said, put him on stage. Put him on stage, he said. And Justin danced, and he sang, and he twirled around, and... wore his little hat and his suspenders, I assume, and his little tap shoes. Took the nation by storm. In sync. Goes solo. All this. Matt, Justin's back. He's got a new album. It's his sixth studio album. And what's it called?
What is it called?
Everything
Everywhere
I thought...
All at Once. Sorry.
Everything I Thought It Was.
So if I get jealous, I can't help it. I want every bit of you. I guess I'm selfish.
The new hit album by Justin Timberlake. And Maddie and Timmy are nothing if not timely and prescient. And so here we are offering up the takes that you will rely on for the next several weeks and months in casual conversation about music, everybody.
That
we're here.
Is
we're here to
right.
help.
Yes, absolutely. This is one, Tim, this is one that was too important to let slide. We all know there's so much happening in the world of music constantly, mm-hmm. week by week, day by day. Mm-hmm. It's a fire hose. We can't drink out of it all the time. But right. This one, Justin T, back on the mic, that's a big deal.
Big deal. Coming off... what people said was sort of a disappointing album, Man in the Woods. And Justin kind of backed off. He said, okay, I think, right, I'm reading the room. Maybe you've all had enough of the Tennessee kids for right now. He backs off, kind of bides his time, does a little comeback thing, little gentle performance with NSYNC. Hey, remember me, everybody, he says. Remember, you guys love nostalgia, right? And he does a little performance, does his thing. Great. Announces he's got a new album coming. Incredible. Releases the album. Some other stuff happens in there, too. Maybe we'll touch on that a little later. But right now, it's important, I think, that we figure out what role does Justin Timberlake play in the culture at large in 2024? What do we want from Justin Timberlake in 2024, Matt? We, the people. That's what we're here to figure.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah, I hope so, I don't have to answer that now. Because
30 minutes from now, I think we'll have it really clear.
Good.
Matt, what's your deal? Where do you sit with Justin? Yeah, pre this new album even. But, you know, like, kind of as you've grown up, you were watching the Mouseketeers from afar. You knew you weren't going to get up on that stage. You accepted it at some point. And you watched Justin climb.
Tim, you know I didn't do any of that. I didn't even know who the Mouseketeers were. I only knew who Justin Timberlake was because of, you know, NSYNC, and that's like was just through osmosis from peers.
Yes,
I was a huge contrarian when I was I was that age back in 2002, I think, when his when Justified came out. Mm-hmm. Just a grump and a cynic, and I hated everything that everyone else liked. So I didn't listen to any JT. I had no idea what he sounded like. Mm-hmm. However, buddy, I will say this is another special thing for a pair of buddies to be talking about, because you were, I don't think I would have ever listened to him.
Yeah.
True. I mean, I know he's a massive, inescapable cultural juggernaut, and at least has been, right?
Right.
But that was not the kind of music I was ever going to get into without my buddy Tim. Mm-hmm. So I've enjoyed a lot of his stuff a lot more than I had ever anticipated when I was a angry child. But you, Tim, I feel like you watched him from the Mouseketeer days.
Oh, dog. Yeah, I was outside looking in saying, put me up on that stage. Put me up on that stage and let me shine.
Come on, Bob Iger. Let me get in there.
Bob, Mickey, come on. I can do this, I said. Little Timmy. But, okay, unlike you, Matt, yes, I came to terms with the fact that I'd never be a Mouseketeer. And I just tried to root for Justin as best I could. Tried to put the spite aside. And I think I did a pretty good job.
Yeah,
This is stupid. Okay, buddy, yes. I have always really been into Justin. Back in the boy band era, I would have been like 7 or 8. And I had an older sister who was in high school at that time. And so she had like takes on this music.
I bet.
And I just echoed, right?
Sure.
As a little baby. And the verdict in our house was NSYNC greater than Backstreet Boys. So
that was Justin. Your side of the war, okay.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Then he goes solo, right, Justified. Some downright incredible tunes on there, buddy.
Yeah.
What a pop star.
On that sunny day, didn't know I'd meet such a beautiful girl walking down the street. Seen those bright
the way he got it all figured out with Timbaland and Pharrell and the Neptunes, right? He figured it out, like, but good.
Buddy, look, yes, I need to say, I don't want to go dive in unprepared here, but yeah, like, this was now that type of thing, that type of music, like white boy falsetto R&B is so commonplace as to just be pop music. But at the time, he was the only one.
It was
really
Justin.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude.
I agree. He locked in. He locked in so good and kind of blew the tops of everyone's heads off.
Justified as an album is, yeah, I mean, that is a meteor streaking across the sky in terms of, like, pop music influence.
Yeah. Yes.
And Matt, it also included the song I'm Loving It.
I'm loving it.
Which we still hum every time we think about getting French fries at McDonald's.
Is that a Justin Timberlake song?
Justin wrote ba-da-ba-ba-ba. Yes, buddy. You know this? Did you not
Tim,
know this?
I told... Look, I had no idea because, as I told you, back in 2002,
yeah,
I was a contrarian.
Sure.
I was not listening.
You were eating Burger King. Right.
Are you serious?
Hear this. I'm serious.
Is that
dude.
Like the Philip Phillips American Family Insurance home commercial?
Essentially, yes, for fast food it is. McDonald's took that song from Justin and said, "We'll take really good care of this, buddy."
No wonder he's filthy rich,
dude.
It's not because of anything. I'm okay.
No,
wow. This is, I don't want to derail anything, but that's going to take some processing power. Wow. Okay. I mean, I that's amazing. That is a git, man. He could have stopped then.
Absolutely.
He would have the same size house.
Totally.
Anyway, okay. Wow. Okay. Continue.
Okay. So, right. Amazing. So, Justin is on top of the world at the turn of the millennium. Fabulous. And we're all so happy for him, right? We love this guy.
Yeah.
He's so cool. The frosted tips.
Mm.
It's cool.
He's a likable guy.
Oh,
you
Lord,
can't hate
he's
this
likable.
Guy.
His smile. This sounds like one of those little tangents that the buddies go down and laugh about, but actually, gang.
No, this is real.
Timberlake's likability factor is kind of, it's key to understanding everything, I think. So, Justified, incredible. Future Sex Love Sounds. What an album title.
Yeah.
He brings sexy back. He features on Where Is the Love by Black Eyed Peas.
He can't make a bad decision.
Right, every dart he throws is a bullseye. It's crazy. And Future Sex Love Sounds, for as silly of a name as it is, and as silly of a song as Sexy Back ultimately is, crazy good songs on here too, dude. What goes around comes around. He's basically at this point, he has just honed his mastery of white boy R&B. There is just no drag on this race card, dude. It's all aerodynamics. It's perfect.
Yep. Yes, it's so
just buttered up. It's crazy.
What I love about it, mm-hmm. and just the sound. I mean, obviously, we got to give credit to Timbaland and the Neptunes, etc. They're integral to the whole thing. Mm-hmm. But like, it is so, it's so dialed in and sort of so streamlined, so
yes.
perfect. And yet, white boy R&B gives you a lot of leash. You know what I mean? Like, he's using bizarro stuff. Like, Cry Me a River had Gregorian chant and, like, Arabic. Like, he's all over the place.
Yes.
But it's still... Like, that's because, Tim, I remember I got into... I don't even remember when you and I met, but for some reason, Future Sex Love Sounds was like the first JT thing I heard, and I'm pretty sure because of you.
Yeah,
and I was like,
right.
Man, this guy's a maniac. Like, it's not, it's pop music, but there's so much stuff that he's like pulling from and going for, and yet it generally works. I was really like, it clicked for me after that.
We should also say, we shouldn't blow past the fact that he has such a vice grip on white boy R&B that he himself can parody it. Like, he can make self-aware commentary on it via The Lonely Island, via yes. Saturday Night Live.
Take a look inside. Is my in a box?
It's in a box.
Not gonna get you a diamond ring. That sort of gift don't mean anything.
He's that in control that he can fully poke fun at himself and still keep doing that same thing uninterrupted.
Well, just and because
crazy,
because no one, I mean, people of course started to kind of try, but like he was, and honestly, maybe still like is the reigning king of that specific thing.
It's hard to deny. At this point, right, he's on top of the pop music world, basically. What does he do? He backs off. He says, "I'm going to go act. I'm going to go be in The Social Network."
That's right.
That sort of thing.
Yep. I'm going to go marry Jessica Biel.
Right. I've got other things to do. Of course I'm a star. Of course I'm a great musician, a great dancer, singer, all of it. I'm charming. I'm great. I'm funny. I'm nice. I'm handsome. I'm gone. And then he comes back, Matt, in 2012 to 2013, the 2020 experience. Suit and Tie featuring Jay-Z.
And as long as I got my suit and tie, I'ma leave it all on the floor tonight. And you got fixed up to the nines. Let me show you a few things. All pressed up in black.
Oh, man. Matt, at this point, little Timmy is out of control stoked about JT.
I remember this very well, Tim. Yes. I remember... Right. You did not do anything for a few months but listen to this album.
Suit and Tie. Mirrors.
Oh, buddy. Hey, look, I will say, Mirrors.
Talk about it.
I have a list of songs that I have very specific sort of lightning strike, remember exactly where I was moments with. And Mirrors is one of them. I was in some sort of foggy daytime or, you know, early nighttime sleep, and yes. I was roused by the sounds of something I'd never heard before, and SNL was on, which was strange because I never watch SNL, and I heard this tune, and I was like, this is one of the best songs I have ever heard in my entire life. That's what I thought at the time. I was blown away. Anyway, please continue. Just want to say I'm with you.
Right, it's like he keeps finding mountaintops, and he ushers in, I guess, sort of like, you know, big band disco pop. It was him and it was Daft Punk, essentially. And they said, disco's cool again, you guys. Let's do this. Let's hire 6 saxophones and 3 trombones and 4 trumpets and get them up on stage, too.
That's right. That's right.
And, of course, now he's all gussied up. He's not a bad boy anymore, Matt.
He's wearing a suit and tie.
Ugh. And he's still so likable. His hair looks so good. And everything is just so perfect.
He's killing it. This whole thing we call life. He is skating right on through.
Then he says, I'm the best. I can do anything. I'm going to release sort of a folky, introspective new album with country influences, he says. It's called Man of the Woods, he says. Here's the first single, he says. What do you all think?
Everybody says, say something, say something, say something, say something, say something, say something. I don't want to get caught up in the rhythm of it, but I can't help myself.
And everybody said, you can't do anything you want. That was the reaction.
Yeah, we all said, man, we hate this. What are you doing?
That is not at all what we wanted.
Stop this, buddy. No.
Well, yeah, not to sugarcoat it, we basically said we kind of hate this.
Yeah, like, essentially.
It's not good.
You can keep this one, pal. It's all good. Please do some more cool dancing, ultimately, is what we said. Okay, so that was a little misstep. So he backs off. He does a little reunion with NSYNC, and everybody smiles and laughs, and he goes viral. And then he says, okay, everyone, I'm back. It's everything I thought it was. He says, I wrote 100 songs and narrowed it to 16 for this album. He tells the press. I've been working hard on this one, he says. I think you're all going to love it. And now it's here. And now we're left to say, what's going on with Justin? Matt, I left a few things out.
Yes. I know.
Notice?
I did. Yeah. I knew you had a plan, but yeah, I did notice.
Okay, sure. I left out a few things about Justin along the way. He performed at the halftime show with Janet Jackson. Wardrobe malfunction. Does the whole thing. Blames Janet for it, ultimately. Kind of skirts himself away from the blame.
Works great for him.
Honestly, works great for him. No issues. Continues. He dates his co-Mouseketeer, Matt. Britney Spears. Star couple. Doesn't go so great. I guess they break up. Then we later learn that maybe he encouraged her to get an abortion with their child that she was carrying.
Yeah, we learned that recently.
But at the time, all we kind of... At the time...
We hated Britney.
We hated Britney, buddy, didn't we? We said, what has she done to our boy?
I was just going to say that exact phrase. What has she done to our boy? Justin is America's sweetheart. Are you kidding me? That was our guy.
Right. We chose at that time, didn't we, as a nation? And we said,
this is the boy.
I believe it's Justin. He's our boy.
Yep.
He writes Cry Me a River, and it kind of paints Britney as a stinker.
And that worked.
That worked. Right. As I said, I was a sweet little 12-year-old going bananas over these songs.
Learning how to treat a woman. That's right.
Oh, Lord.
Continue. So, you're doing great. I'm loving this. I'm loving this withheld information.
Sure. I'm an unreliable narrator. Okay, no. So these things happen, Matt. We can't pretend they didn't. But we did for a long time. We the people.
We pretended that they didn't matter if they didn't. You know, if they happened.
Yeah.
What does that say about Justin? Nothing.
He made some mistakes. It's no big deal. You know, times change. The political winds shift a little bit. We're a little less forgiving of guys being stinkers at this point. Are we? I don't know. We talked about Morgan Wallen, didn't we? He's doing fine.
Yeah, this is interesting. Oh, man.
Well, this is the question, Matt. We've hit it. This is what I want to talk about. I want to figure out if any of this matters. Justin is so likable, isn't he?
America's sweetheart.
We love it when he dances. We love it when he sings. We love it when he's in the press. We love it when he goes on Jimmy Fallon. We love it when he's on SNL. He's just so charming until he's not. And after Britney publishes the book and explains her side of the story of the abortion stuff and everything else, Justin gave a performance and he said,
I'd like to take this opportunity to apologize to absolutely nobody.
And Tim, let's talk here.
Mm-hmm.
When did he do that? Like, I assume in the past 6 months?
Yeah, it was in like January.
Sure.
Yeah.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because this story with he and Britney were dating when they were both very young.
Kids, yeah.
And very much in the public eye. More than most. I mean, they are a handful of 20 people. In,
right.
Like, history.
Yeah.
Who have...
Horrifying to imagine.
Yes. And that story is rough, right? And and it's hard to kind of learn that about our boy Justin now.
Mm-hmm.
But my thought is, there are ways back from that.
Yeah,
there right. Are. Like you were very young, you were being handled, and your life was being was a whirlwind. Right.
Yes. Yes.
We all make mistakes. Sometimes horrible mistakes. Some often with other people.
Yeah.
Or that affect other people when we're young, and life continues to go on and can be great. It's a very common thing, but for him as a, what did you say, 43-year-old man?
That's what I said.
To get up on stage and you
vindictive,
know.
Vindictive. Yes. Angry.
Like, and obviously he's talking, he's referring to that. He's mad that people learned something, that the gleam is wearing off just a little bit. And honestly, just a little bit.
Just.
Right?
That's it, man. I honestly, like, I don't know if I have the strength or the constitution to like, get into the minutia of the Justin Britney stuff too much. Because.
No, right.
Yeah, it's not a good look. Of course it's not. To your point, there is a, yeah, it doesn't have to be any sort of career-ending, what have you. A lot of people have done, you know, like, it's not the greatest sin committed in Hollywood or in the music industry, probably.
No, like, no.
This week, you know.
Yes, exactly.
But to react to it in the way he did, I think there is no one more conscious of Justin Timberlake's, let's call it, approval rating than Justin.
That's right.
Because he knows that that's the capital that matters.
That's why he's hosted SNL 40 times.
Yes, it's right. Being likable is so crucial to the Justin experience.
Mm-hmm. The 2020 experience.
Because he is a capital E entertainer in a way that, gosh, man, not very many pop stars are in 2024. Mm-hmm. Like, that's right. Not... That's kind of a bygone era thing. I liken him to sort of a Bruno Mars. Like, singing, dancing, just putting on a show constantly. Winning smile.
Yes.
Right?
That's right. Yeah, they really, I'm sorry, but they don't really make them like that anymore. Bruno Mars was an anomaly at his, you know, by the time he came up almost, you know?
Mm-hmm. If you don't like Bruno Mars, then a lot of his it factor just washes away.
And
the same goes for Justin Timberlake. If we can't feel like he is, like, winking and smiling through the camera right at us, then the illusion is broken, and we're just left with a guy kind of hustling to make some money, you know, make more of that McDonald's money.
Not that he needs it.
but really, like, I think that his approval rating, he lives and dies by it as a performer, as a star.
Yep. And man, that's exactly, see, because I wasn't really intending to focus on one reaction that he had, but that's, to me, like,
I think it's a really important microcosm of, like, what
telling,
his deal is.
Yes, yeah. Yes. I would think you'd go up there and not say this on the stage, but be like, I do apologize.
Sure.
Like, easy, right?
Well, it's pretty easy, man. And like, time, like we said, at the time, he's America's sweetheart. The Super Bowl thing, the wardrobe malfunction, big deal at that point for Justin, right? But it's not 2002 anymore. Like, in the culture, his approval rating. Look, I'm not his crisis PR guy, but, like, honestly, if I were him, I would have been a little more contrite.
Yeah, man, me too.
What harm is there in humbling yourself a little bit?
He's really not used to that, though.
Well, that's it. He puts on his suit and tie and he dazzles us. Man, what's it all about ultimately? Is it about the tunes? Sometimes, yeah. It's about masculine will, Matt.
Well, buddy, let's talk. Because
it is. What that looks like from dude to dude, I think, varies.
Very different. Yes.
Like, I think the correct move would have been to say, look, gang, yeah, I was a little dummy and I'm really sorry. But on the other hand, it is so hard to imagine Justin in a position of apology.
That's right. That's it's just very right.
Can you imagine that smile, that face, saying sorry? For what? You didn't have to be sorry for anything. Why are you apologizing to me? Look at you.
If anything, we should be apologizing to you.
Do you know what I mean, though?
Yes. Like, oh, absolutely. He has, like, through circumstance and mm-hmm. and ability and work, etc., he has, like, been skating. He's been batting a thousand for a very, very long time. Mm-hmm. I doubt it even crossed his mind to be like, maybe there's another way to play this other than being an unrepentant 43-year-old.
Right. And I guess let's talk about the tunes just a little bit, just to say this new album, Matt, is a big departure from Man in the Woods. There is nothing like that on this. This is the Los Angeles Times called him a man out of time, because he is sending it all back to Justified, to Future Sex Love Sounds, to 2020 Experience.
Mm-hmm.
It's danceable, it's grimy, it's dirty, it's sexy. He is
buddy,
seducing you on every track,
buddy.
It's look. All it's everything that you expect out of a Justin Timberlake tune. That's what this is.
He learned his lesson. He said, with Man of the Woods, I guess you guys didn't like that. And the thing is, oh man, I don't wanna keep cracking this walnut further.
Go for it.
Well, I do. An artiste, a capital A artist, would not get the same thing. They would say, I don't care. I'm going to do this thing. I'm going to do the thing that I feel compelled to do. Justin said, what's the feedback looking like here, team?
Yes.
What do people want? Let's give them that.
Right. We got to get these approval numbers up.
Yep.
Right? Because if you ask Justin, are you an artist or an entertainer? I don't know what he'd say.
Yeah.
But I sure know what I would say. I don't think it's like... Is it about the tunes for Justin?
Man, it's tough, man, because...
Yeah.
His... Like, I will say again, the involvement of Pharrell and Timbaland kind of from the jump...
Crucial.
Could not have happened without. But like Justin, he's co-writes all this stuff.
Yeah, right. He's a great writer.
He's really solid. He's got he's got honestly, I will say about him, he's a big compliment coming from me. Great taste, right?
Yes.
Those decisions, very, very, very impeccable taste in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Which is also always right. So impeccable taste. Yeah, I just wanna play. Now I'ma give you something to play with. So yeah, but like still, it doesn't... His one attempt at Bon Iver style artistic introspection went over like a lead balloon. You see the cover art of that thing? It's what he thought was...
It was
art. Right. It's terrible. I mean, terrible.
It's not what we want from Justin Timberlake.
So he's back to give you whatever you want.
It's interesting, man. Like
it is. Is this? Yeah, man. It is interesting.
He brings in Sync in too, buddy. Like he's got a feature tune with all four of his pals.
You know, NSYNC, they're just sitting together in their big four-person bed, waiting. They're essentially a Justin Image rehabilitation team, and they never get called, but now the phone's ringing.
That's the thing, buddy. They never needed to be called.
Yep, they were just swimming around, walking their dogs. Didn't matter.
Anyone begging for an NSYNC reunion in 2013? Give me a break. It's not going to happen. Of course not.
Nope.
Doesn't need to happen. Now you wonder if Justin was like, push the red button.
I could use some wind beneath my wings.
Call the
if
boys.
If you know what I mean.
I need the boys back.
And they said, I guess.
Yeah, of course, buddy. We're here for you. We love you, Justin.
Anyway, we're like, that's exactly right.
We're like Charlie's aunts and uncles in the chocolate factory. We're like... toes sticking out of the bed.
Oh, that's a good visual.
They're just waiting for the call, and it finally came.
Cause I waited, I've been waiting forever, right here for this moment.
I don't have a lot else to say about him, I guess, except that, like, his tunes are so good. Like, as an entertainer, he's undeniable.
He's undeniable.
But what do we need from him in 2024? I don't know if it's new music.
And I don't know if it's need in the way that it used to be.
No. If I were Justin, I would park my Keister in Las Vegas and do a residency until I'm 60.
He would have too much money. That's why he doesn't do it.
Maybe. Like, he doesn't have anything to prove on the music end anymore, I don't think. Like, he's got it. We know what you can do, man. Yeah. It's great.
And you're not breaking new ground.
No. You tried that.
Yeah, and everyone said, fill that hole back in, buddy.
Right. But you're so good at performing, you're incredible. So if you don't, like, if the tail doesn't feel good between the legs, Justin, maybe just go where everybody wants you, which is Mandalay Bay.
Here's the thing. Listen, this guy who has had essentially, I'm not going to say perfect because there's, you know, I can't again imagine that level of fame at that age, etc. But like, been killing it for a long time. At 43 years old, if I can retire to my quarters in Mandalay Bay and maybe, I don't know, maybe go smoke a cigarette by the slot machines, meet some fans, have room service, and go screw around on stage every night where everybody loves me, and I'm still that McDonald's money, and I'm getting whatever ungodly sum from Mandalay Bay.
Yes.
Buddy, I would know, that's living. Bring a pizza up at, 1 a.m., room service. Bring me another one at 11 a.m. It's fine. I'm just chilling.
It's a no-brainer to me.
It feels so easy.
If anyone listening knows Justin, suggest this to him. Put it in his ear. I think maybe he just hasn't considered it as an option.
Right, and he ought to, because it is a good and fully respectable option.
Definitely. Ear buddies. We'll continue in a moment. Welcome back to Ear Buddies, and welcome to, oh man, this is going to feel so good, a palate cleanser segment.
It's been a minute.
It has. We are so dialed in all the time. We're so plugged into the tunes, to respect, to family, to masculine will. We're constantly thinking about these key themes that I think we I think we owe it to ourselves to take a step back every now and then and just cleanse the palate. Think about something else.
Agreed. Because this is, I can't say this for every podcaster, but I know for you and me, buddy, this is a full-time job. We are constantly drawing connections, investigating,
making the synapses are firing constantly. It hurts. It hurts.
Exactly. It's an academic endeavor, but it's a physical one in a lot of ways too. And I think it's time to just let's have a chat. Let's cleanse the palate. Calm down a little bit.
Pour a drink, kick your feet up.
That's right. That's right. For once, it's not about the tunes. And I will never say that except for in Palate Cleanser.
That's right. That's right. So, Matt, gosh, hey. You watched anything good on TV lately or see any good flicks?
Let's see. You know what, Tim? And how? I'm glad you asked, because usually I don't have a good answer to that because of my TV viewing habits or lack thereof. But I have been hooked on the hot new show everyone's talking about. Tim, have you heard of Traitors?
I've heard of it, but I couldn't even tell you the premise.
Pal.
Talk about it, buddy.
Let me tell you the premise. Oh, boy. Now, I'm gonna start, and I'm speaking directly to you here, Tim. This is just a conversation between friends.
That's what this is. Just happened to be microphones in front of us.
Yeah,
no big deal.
Exactly. Yeah. Now, you know that I do not watch a lot of or any really like reality TV. Never gotten into it. I feel like you don't either. Am I right in saying that?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay. So when this came across my desk, I was like, well, I don't really like reality TV. I think that you, Tim, would even enjoy this because here's the premise. So there are a number of different versions. I have watched the US season 2, Australia season 1, which is one of the best seasons of TV I've seen, period.
Wow.
Truly.
Okay.
And I'm in the middle of UK season 2, I think, or season 1. Anyway,
where are you watching this? Hold on.
It's on, where is it? Is it Peacock? Yeah, it's Peacock.
Okay.
Yep.
Sounds good.
And so the premise is there are a bunch of different people from either all walks of life or in some versions, like the US version, it's former reality like strategy contestant stars like Survivor and Big Brother, right? But the UK and the Australian are just like normies, right? And they bring them in. And they're all in a castle together or a hotel or whatever. And the host chooses a select number of traitors. And everyone else is faithful. And the goal of the game, Tim, is to get to the end where you'll win a huge cash prize, right? And and by getting to the end, if a traitor ends up at the end, they take all of the money. And if it's only faithfuls left, then they split the money between them. But if you're a faithful, you can't win if a traitor is still in the game. So it's a simple premise, but it is some of the most compelling television that I've ever seen.
So this is like Mafia, right?
That's what I've been hearing. I've never played Mafia, but everyone who I described this to says, so it's like Mafia.
And okay, amazing.
It rocks, buddy. It's like it's these real people all like they're forming alliances and some people are lying but they're playing a game, right? Like if I'm I constantly am thinking if I was in a game like that with you, Tim, I would lie to your face constantly.
Fun to imagine strategizing this sort of thing. So this is great.
I mean,
and does every round get resolved in one episode, or is it a whole season?
So what
for
happens
the cash
is
prize?
Sure, it's a whole season for the cash prize. But what happens is every night, I'm glad you asked because that's the rest of the premise. Every night there's a round table and somebody is banished because they think that that person is a traitor.
Sure.
Right. So the group gets together and says, "Well, you said this weird thing earlier today, and that we all think you're a traitor." And they're like, I just said a weird thing. It's not a big deal. But they're like, we've decided you're out. And then they have to say if they're a faithful or a traitor.
Right.
Here's the fun thing, though. Every night, Also, after everyone goes to bed, the traitors murder one player. And that is, you know, it's a strategic thing. Maybe someone brought up your name and you are a traitor and you want to get them out.
Oh, I'm
right?
gonna love this.
Or maybe you don't want to kill them because everyone knows that if the yes. only person who would kill them is you, and you don't want people to think you're a traitor.
Sure. So there's all, you're like, you're strategizing and this, then meta-strategizing yes, this, and then like meta-meta-strategizing.
Constantly. It's amazing. It's so interesting.
Oh, fun.
And some people play it really stupidly. And I will say once again, on the Australia version, everyone, almost everyone, was top shelf, top of their game, unbelievable work. Really, really good.
Incredible. Okay.
Man, I didn't realize that was so on my chest, but I did need to tell someone, and I'm glad it was you, pal. There you go.
Buddy, wow, I can't wait to watch a little bit of this. This is good. Yeah.
What about you? You got any new children's television shows you're watching?
Oh, buddy. I mean, listen, I'm always watching Bluey.
Sure.
But actually, my beloved wife and I have been watching a television program after the boy goes to bed lately, an adult program.
Oh, wow. Wow. An adult program?
Yeah. A program made for adults. Which sounds different than I mean, but what
it does, but I do know what you mean.
What I mean, Matt, is the other hit show that has taken the world by storm. That is, of course, Hulu's program with FX, Shogun.
Oh, buddy, I was going to ask you about that. Actually,
we're watching Shogun. Dude.
I've heard everyone loves it.
It's the right. It's the you know. It's the next Game of Thrones. Everyone is saying.
Well, what do you think?
Oh, it's, well, okay. It's the next Game of Thrones in that it is very violent and gory and, you know, they go there. You know
sure.
what I mean?
Sure.
I get, and it's, you know, is very much dealing with military strategy and what have you. Shogun, Matt, was a novel written in 1975 by James Clavell.
Well, of course.
And what it's about, a soulful white boy who washes up on the shores of Japan in the year 1600.
And well, Matt, I'm hooked. I'm
and
in.
Matt, I don't want to make this feel personal in any way, but it also has a great deal to do with Protestants being really upset at Portuguese Catholics for establishing the silk trade and kind of keeping Japan all to themselves. And there's there's a lot of mud slung in the direction of
Portuguese
Roman Catholics.
Well, you know what? It brought it on themselves, really. Like, that's just,
yeah, it was sort of a, right. It was not their finest hour, I guess.
No. When has it ever been, though?
And meanwhile, in Japan, you know, the emperor is dead, and the five remaining lords are all power hungry and, you know, sort of trying to vie for absolute control over Japan. And then, of course, this Englishman mucks it all up and kind of comes in and is the wild card in this game of the Japanese throne.
Okay.
It's great, man. It's a really fun program. It's rousing and dramatic and, you know, great acting. The lead guy, the soulful white boy who washes ashore, Matt, is played by a man named Cosmo Jarvis.
Now that's a star. That is a superstar.
No kidding. Watch it just for that, honestly.
I am going to.
No, but I'm loving it. I think 5 episodes are out so far. It will be 10 episodes total, and I think they're just planning one season. See, that's how it's not Game of Thrones. Like, this is not going to be some years-long sensation. It's just a miniseries. But it's a hoot. Put your kids to bed and watch it, gang. It's very violent.
It's an adult show for adults.
A lot of mature themes. It's a show for adults. Sure. That's what I said at the top, right? Exactly. But, it's so nice every now and then to just kick your feet up and Stop thinking about the tunes.
That's right. Because, Tim, I mean, we don't talk about this, but we have other interests.
Of course we do.
Off mic, we talk about... We started our friendship after music talking about TV shows and what we like to watch on the television.
We sat and we watched all of Lost together.
That's right. Formative for me.
In my parents' basement. Very important. That's right. Yep.
Anyway, that was nice. I'm feeling better now.
The palate is cleansed. Oh, it's so good to end an episode in this way.
We should do this more often.
It's what buddies say so often, yes. We should do this more often. We do it once a week, Matt and me.
So maybe that's just the right amount of time.
I think it feels just right, actually. Yeah.
Okay, good.
Talk to you later, pal.
Talk to you later, buddy.